Aslan waits. Backhand return is straight to Skupski. He was diving across, actually. He did well to put the volley away. Rajavasilan and Siegermund varying their return formation, sometimes staying a little bit, the non-receiver staying a little bit back, but not completely, and then looking to move forward. Immediately they get the chance. 15-30, another big point for Kravchuk and Skupski on the Kravchuk serve. Left-hander serves down to the backhand of Siegermund, who comes forward off her backhand return, puts the backhand volley just wide. Beforehand volley just wide.
So critical here for Kravchuk and Skupski to win this game, having dropped the first set 6-4, down a service break at 2-4 in the second set, falling behind love 30 in this game. A couple of handy pieces of work on the last 2 points to get back to 30-all. It's still a big pressure point in this mixed doubles final at Roland Garros.
Absolutely. No sign of my watch starting to work. Big serve from Kravchuk just goes long. And Siegermund standing just behind the service line while Rajavasilan waits to return. Kravchuk and Skupski go through their routine. Second serve is onto the service line. It was slow, but it looked like it was going to go long. Now they're into a baseline rally, which Rajavasilan wins as Kravchuk nets the backhand, and it's break point to the number two seeds.
And effectively two break points, as we talked about, with the sudden death point. If they're able to snare one of these two, it's a big, big, big step forward towards claiming the Roland Garros title. If they can claim one of these 2 points with a double break in a final in doubles, would be a tricky one to try and reel back in for the Skupski Kravchuk combination.
Morning coaching? Morning Kravchuk must have been for morning Kravchuk for time, I think. Little chip return from Siegermund as Kravchuk goes down the middle, and that's the vulnerable place. Siegermund had covered it but netted the forehand.
No, for a second it did sound like warning coaching for mine, and I was thinking that's weird. Intriguing. But no, just at the time, the discussion again, Skupski and Kravchuk having a chat here.
So saved break point. Still got another one because it's sudden death juice.
It's down to 9 seconds on the clock, 8 seconds as they now wait their way. So it's going to have to be a quick combination here.
She figures she's not going
to
get another one.
2 seconds to go. Ooh, right on the cusp.
Good serve. Chipped return over the head of Skupski. Then Kravchuk goes over the head of Siegermund, and it works because Rajavasilan was trying to force a backhand down the line, and it goes long.
I think he was very worried about the prospect of Skupski crossing there.
Yeah, that's a big hold from love 30, and then saving two break points. They're still in this, Kravchuk and Skupski, but it's set and 4-3 to Siegermund and Rajavasilan.
Now, later on, once this mixed doubles final is complete, Simon, I urge some, if you're on the grounds, well worth getting out to court 10. There is a boys' singles quarter final in progress. And I've spoken to both the young gentlemen this week. Kaelin Began, a very talented player from California who trains in Florida and also trains back in California, plays against some of the pro practices with Mackenzie McDonald, Marcos Giron, depending on which state he's in. Off to UCLA next summer on a scholarship, and a really talented young left-hander. And Henry Bernay, a young boy from Switzerland who hails from TC Old Boys. Grew up in Basel.
Sounds familiar.
One-handed backhand, and a beautiful one-handed backhand. All-court game, fantastic at the net. Happened to have be captained by a man by the name of Marco Ciudinelli, who was the best friends of a similar player from that club. Similar style player from that club, a guy by the name of Roger Federer.
Whatever happened to him?
I'm not sure. I believe he hit a handy one-handed backhand. But no, it's interesting. Bernay is from the same club as Federer.
Yeah.
He has some of the Swiss journalists excited, including someone you wrote a book with on person.
Simon Graf, my fellow writer. We joined forces to write the Roger Federer effect, if anyone didn't hear last year when I mentioned it 1,000 times. It's only been 2 or 3 this time. I've been good. But, yeah, that was very fun to write. Ooh, lovely hands from Roger Vasselin at the net for the first point for the Sigemund serve at 4-3. Yeah, we had a great time writing that book, and it was really fun to do. But, yeah, Federer and Cudinelli, best friends, played computer games all night for years, played FIFA, they played all sorts, hung out together. It was a big part of Federer's upbringing and playing at the same club together. So, yeah, it'd be very interesting to see Henri Bernet as he progresses in his career. So Sigemund serving down the tee to the forehand of Skupski, who misses again. He's missed way too many of these shots today. It's just not been quite his day for usually so sharp. But it's been smart play from Sigemund and Roger Vasselin to keep him off balance and mixed it up. I think that the Sigemund serve should be vulnerable, but they're not having much luck on it. It's 30 love. Kravchuk waits, crouching on the baseline to return on the backhand side. Great return. It is down the line this time. And this time, Skupski is there to put the volley away. That's what happens when you get a good return. And it's 30-15.
Gabrielle Gordon has written in, "Dear Radio Roland Garros, thanks for a wonderful fortnight as usual. Been listening for many years and every year it is wonderful. Many thanks for calling doubles, and hope you have lots of Tim Tams next year from sunny and warm Fort Worth, Texas." Well, I made an unforced error by failing to remember to bring Tim Tams or barbecue
shocking
shapes.
Shocking behaviour.
And so I'm...
Nice from Roger Vasselin again. He picks off the first return from Skupski, and even though Kravchuk did well to get the ball back, he just turns his racket, plays it on the angle, and it's 40-15.
Excellent use of the angles as well. Great cross. Superb net play. Yes, I'm going to need to be really on my best behaviour tonight. I'm going to need to butter up the Empress, Marcus, and hopefully receive an invitation back next year to join the team, because it was a poor mistake from my on my behalf.
Skupski doing really well to fend off one volley and then fends another one down the line, and that could be a big point. Look like Roger Vasselin and Sigemund were going to put the ball away, but great hands, great reactions from Skupski, and it's 40-30.
And the anguish that we saw from Roger Vasselin as he walked back. Yes, they're in front here, 6-4, upper service break, but there's been such fine margins, and every single point matters in this format, and it does keep Skupski and Kravchuk alive in this game. And you can hear the crowd right behind the combination, largely, I think, in favour of Roger Vasselin, given he's a favourite here in Paris.
Now, Sigemund gets a code violation because her time runs out. But she just takes a breather, takes a bit more time, gets herself ready. It's 40-30, game point for a 5-3 lead. Slice serve to the forehand, down the line from Skupski, and this time he makes it. And that's a good time to find your best return. And it's back to juice, and it's break point. Sudden death juice.
Fascinating juncture in this Roland Garros mixed doubles final on a beautiful Thursday afternoon in Paris, building towards the women's singles semi-finals. It is Kravchuk to take the return on this occasion.
Interesting change. Skupski's been returning on the break points, but haven't taken any, so they've changed it. And the return on the backhand is good from Kravchuk. Roger Vasselin reaches the volley, but it's not good enough. And Skupski slams the volley away, and that change-up on return does the job. Back on serve, 4-4 in the second set.
Skupski, you may not have been sharp necessarily off the ground at occasions throughout this mixed doubles final, but on two occasions in that game, exceptional reflexes at the net, drag them out of a hole. Beautiful play from the net from him, and here we are. 4-4 in the second set. This mixed doubles final is well and truly alive.
I mean, I was just checking the stats as that point was going on. They were 0 from 8, Skupski and Kravchuk on break points. Now they're 1 from 9 and they're back on serve as Skupski adjusts his feet just in time to get to a forehand from Roger Vasselin, who pulls the forehand wide thanks to the movement, really, of Kravchuk at the net, who was shaping to pick it off, and Roger Vasselin thought he had to pull it a little bit further and mishit it wide.
And in these situations, with the momentum behind you, you can often ride it. It's at the peak of this second set. four all. The number four seeds now with some momentum behind them.
Ooh, nice return from Sigerman. Just slice forehand return, chopped it. But because Kravchuk was crossing, no time for Skupski to get there. And it's 15 all.
She's been really clever, the German, with her chips and also her... she's not driving the ball necessarily on return. She's opting to try and shape the ball, try and put it in positions where they can actually get into the rallies. The other players have all been effectively driving the ball on return, but she's the change-up. She opts for touch and for feel.
Long chat from Skupski and Kravchuk. Skupski ready to go. Big serve down the middle. Good return from Roger Vasselin. Forehand up the line. Ripper from Skupski. Finally, suddenly, maybe just in time, is finding his range.
And again, the margins.
It's right on the line, isn't it?
That one clipped the line. Absolutely. A lightning bolt forehand there from the Englishman.
30-15. Serving at four all. Looking to go wide. Round the back of Kravchuk again. Kravchuk telling Skupski where to serve, what she's going to do. They haven't decided. She keeps saying she wants to go one way, and he's like, no. Here we go. Second serve. Down the tee with the serve. Cross from Kravchuk, but got back brilliantly by the good hands of Roger Vasselin and the netted forehand from Skupski, and it's 30 all.
And again, the chip return. Look, it wasn't a great chip return in that it went to straight to Kravchuk at the net, but it was good enough. It made her play. They were moving forward, and that brought them in. Great reflexes from Roger Vasselin.
Yeah, really good movement from Sigerman as well. Although she played that chip, she was moving forward so quickly that made it awkward for Skupski and for Kravchuk, who couldn't put the volley away. Now it's 30 all. Roger Vasselin waiting, spins the racket. First serve, let.
As Vishal writes in to say, good evening, radio team. Looking forward to Swiatek and Coco Gauff, which will come a little later this afternoon.
Yep. 3 o'clock start, local time. It's the first of the semis. Paolini and Andreeva to follow. Four all, 30 all. Skupski serving. Goes wide to the forehand of Roger Vasselin. Kravchuk hits twice at Sigerman, who's equal to it. They're back into a cross-court rally between Roger Vasselin and Skupski, who runs round a lob and then makes a mess of a forehand, pulls it wide and sort of slams his thigh with his racket in disgust. And it's break point to the number two seeds.
She has been the star of the show so far for mine, Sigerman. On that occasion, her reflexes, the ball was being cannoned at her, and she was able to make the reflexes, make the volleys, keep the point flowing, and then made the good move that put the pressure on Skupski. She was crossing, and he tried to get it away from her. Great play from the German.
Now it's Sigerman to return the serve of Skupski at break point. She's not going to return that. It's an ace out wide. That's what he was looking for on the previous point, that side. He finds the mark this time. It's juice. It's still break point, sudden death juice. Skupski will serve to Roger Vasselin on the juice court. Quick chat with his partner, Desiree Kravchuk. Long chat, in fact. At the baseline, Kravchuk's ready to move forward. Sigerman also standing quite far back near the baseline as Roger Vasselin returns. It's a good serve. Kravchuk moves backwards instead of forwards and makes a mess of the backhand. She hangs her head, and that is a crucial, crucial break of serve for Sigerman and Roger Vasselin. They lead 5-4 and will serve for the match.
Just hands straight up to her face there. It fell awkwardly. It was a tricky one because it just wasn't quite... If she'd gone forward, the volley was there, but it just floated a little trickily, took the step backwards and then panicked a little bit. Tried to drive the ball straight at her counterpart, Sigermund, but overhit it. And perhaps not surprising given how good Sigermund's been at the net. Another inferred pressure, I suspect, a result of inferred pressure given the reflexes of the German. And that's a critical break with Roger Vasselin now coming out to serve for the Roland Garros mixed doubles title.
And it's just that split-second decision when you're at the net to move forward or wait. And if you get it wrong, you're just made to look a fool. And She did panic a little bit the second one because she was worried about what Sigerman might do if she hit it straight to her. Hit it too hard, hit it long and wide. And now, well, a chance for the Frenchman to put a French win on the board. A Franco-German win. Should he and Laura Siegmann finish this off here? 40 years old, Edouard Roger Vasselin. Chance to win Roland Garros title for the first time. Having won here in doubles with Julien Beneteau in 2014. And Laura Siegemund looking for her third slam title. Her second in mixed. Starts with a big serve down the tee from Roger Vasselin. Krawczyk can only pop it up in the air and Siegemund puts it away.
Roger Vasselin's father, of course, Christoph, was a very, very, very good player, having defeated, having a win over Jimmy Connors when Jimmy Connors was the number one in the world at Roland Garros, and he fell to the fellow Frenchman and the eventual champion, Yannick Noah, in the 1983 Garros semi-final.
That is right. Good serve again from Roger Vasselin, and a drive volley off a lob return from Skupski is at the feet of Krawczyk, and they're 2 points away now. And this is fine serving when you're under pressure, when you're trying to serve out matches in doubles especially. The importance of the first serve cannot be overstated. Just sets everything up. You've got your game plan. You know where the players are moving. Find that first serve and get on with it. Here we go. 30 love. Another one hits the tee. Good return this time from Krawczyk. Gets herself back into the rally on the backhand side. And the forehand is netted from Roger Vasselin. Brilliant return from Krawczyk.
Yeah, beautifully struck, crisp, like a laser bolt, basically, that one. It rushed Roger Vasselin, who did peak at a ranking of 35 in singles in 2014. He's a very, very solid player, qualified for Wimbledon on 5 occasions, and we're seeing why. This is an outstanding level, this mixed doubles final.
Still 2 points from victory. Roger Vasselin serving to Skupski. Serves to the forehand of the Briton, who whips a forehand down the line. Is it in?
Just clips the back of the baseline. Wow. You saw Roger Vasselin's head thrown back in despair as that one just touched the line. Powerfully struck from Skupski.
Wasn't totally clean, but it was very, very effective. 30 all from 30 love.
So the stakes rise in this final. What a thriller. And the crowd has been well entertained here on court. Philippe Chatrier.
Roger Vasselin catches the ball toss on the first one, then goes again. Serves to the forehand of Krawczyk, who improvises and plays an off-forehand return. Apologises because she didn't mean it to be that good. It fell really short. No chance for the opponents to get it. And it gives Skupski and Krawczyk a break-back chance.
Two break-back chances.
Indeed.
Remarkable forehand return there. The deflection, just the most acute angle from the off forehand.
It was a good body serve, but an even better return. So work to be done. Roger Vasselin serves to Skupski. On the backhand side is a good serve. The backhand is in the net. Bounced before it hit the net from Skupski. And it is match point. Siegemann and Roger Vasselin. Sudden death deuce at 5-4. This is what the sudden death deuce format can do. Break point and match point.
Phenomenal, and you can hear the crowd getting right behind this. Skupski to take the return. Krawczyk standing about three-quarter court. Sigemond just crouching near the middle tee.
Roger Vasselin blows his wrist, serves to the backhand of Skupski, hits good return. Volley from Krawczyk is away, and they've broken. They've saved the match point. Brilliant return. The reply from Roger Vasselin was not brilliant, and then the volley from Krawczyk was cool as you like under pressure, and we're back at 5-all.
Phenomenal tennis. She may have made a meal of the opportunity on the previous game there, Krawczyk, but she was up to the occasion on that point. Beautifully punched forehand volley straight past Sigemund at the net. Having struggled to break for so long, they've now broken in consecutive service games to keep themselves in the fight for this title.
Quick update. Bopana and Ebden have levelled against Bolelli and Vavasori in the semi-final of the men's doubles. It's a set all. They won the second 6-2. And lots of other stuff going along. Alfie Hewitt, 4-2 down in the third against Gustavo Fernandez in the wheelchair semi-final singles. First point of the 11th game goes to Sigmund and Roger Vasselin on the Kravchek serve. Long discussion between Kravchek and Skupski. Kravchek gets ready. Then Sir, oh no, not quite. It's lets the ball toss drop and starts again. Serves into the net. Roger Vasselin drops back on the second serve while as Sigmund gets ready to return it. Interesting move. Slow first serve from Kravchek. Good return from Sigmund. In comes Roger Vasselin and nets the backhand volley. Interesting move to drop back on the second serve. Maybe just to give the server a different look.
Well, it actually worked in terms of put them in a position. It was just the volley from Roger Vasselin that didn't quite work. And he threw his head back in despair again. They were so close in that last service game. A couple of shots that went against them.
Got to get that out of their system. Forget about that. There's work to be done. 15-all. Good serve from Kravchek down the tee. Turn from the backhand side from Roger Vasselin. Lob from Kravchek is short. And Sigmund again puts it away really superbly. No mistake. Plays it inside out, really. And it's 15-30.
1 hour, 35 minutes on the clock for this mixed doubles final. It's been a really tight, even affair.
It's got to be Kravchek's serve. First serve is good. The second serve's been sitting up. Not the fastest of second serves. And a chance maybe for Sigmund to force a few break points. Backhand return from Sigmund is mishit, but it lands in and Kravchek has to go across to get it. Oh, brilliant backhand up the line from Sigmund. And that gives them 2-3 break points.
Just superbly struck. Skupski was at the net. He didn't move.
Yeah.
It was not like he was crossing, but just with the flattened out backhand, beautifully struck. Again, probably too short in the court there from Kravchek. She was going for the angle. She was trying to take Sigmund out of court, but just didn't quite get enough on it. And flattened through that backhand brilliantly. But it had to be exceptional because Skupski was camped at the net on that side.
15-40. Serve to the backhand of Roger Vasselin, who goes straight at Skupski. Skupski in the point, though. He gets the volleys back over. Oh, an amazing touch from Sigmund. Backhand volley carved across the net on the angle. Rat-a-tat exchange at the net between the pair. But she finishes it off, and they will serve for this match for a second time.
She has been exceptional, the 36-year-old, in this doubles final, mixed doubles final. Just showing why she's been ranked as high as number 4 in women's doubles, currently the number 6. She won the 2016 US Open with Pavic, playing another exceptional mixed doubles final in this occasion.
It's a bit of work to be done for Alfie Hewitt. You know, the number 1 seed in the wheelchairs is down 4-2 in the third to Gustavo Fernandez. He's just saved a break point, actually. Would have been 5-2. As it is, he's up against it. And Kaylin Biggin has taken the first set against Henri Bernet in the singles, 6-2 in the junior boys' quarterfinal.
And McEnroe and Songer in that Legends doubles match out on court, Suzanne Longlon. 6-2, 4-3 against Gilles Simon and Mats Wilander.
And McEnroe, 65 years old now, still playing some great tennis, helped out by the youngster, Songer. Songer and Simon, both about the same age. So, here we go. Roger Vasselin couldn't serve it out. He had a match point, but they got broken. And now at 6-5 in the second set, it'll be Sigmund serving. She's been very good on serve for the most part, defending her serve exceptionally well. Can they finish it off this time? Sigmund serves. Kravchek returns on the forehand side into the net. Good serve down the tee. Draws the error.
Very well placed first serve there from the German.
She's been serving a lot out wide to the Kravchek backhand, so that little change up maybe caught Kravchek off balance. She It's ready to serve again, Siegmund. 15 love. Serves to Skupski on the backhand, who goes down the line for a winner. Roger Vasselin looking to cross and just left the space. And whether or not Skupski was going there anyway, it worked perfectly. 15-all.
And Sam Schroeder from the Netherlands progresses in the wheelchair quad singles, 6-1, 6-1 over Donald Ramfardi.
15-all, Siegmund serving, serving for the match. Return from Kravchuk straight at Roger Vasselin, who puts the ball away at the second time of asking. Punch of the fist from the Frenchman, springing back to his position at the back of the court, 40 years young, looking for his first mixed doubles title here at Roland Garros. And it's 30-15, they're 2 points away again.
He assumes the eye, just about, yeah, just about the eye formation on this occasion.
30-15. Siegmund serves the backhand of Skupski, who again goes up the line, but this time he misses. And this time it's two match points to Roger Vasselin and Siegmund on the Siegmund serve.
As Roger Vasselin back to the baseline, deep in discussion, he clubs his shoes with his racket to get the clay out of them. And again, standing very close to the tee.
Match point number two, this time on the Siegmund serve. Down the tee, it's good. Volley from Skupski is into the net, and it's there. Siegmund and Roger Vasselin rush to hug each other. They've done it. They've won the mixed doubles title here at Roland Garros with a fabulous performance. They've beaten Desiree Kravchuk and Neil Skupski 6-4, 7-5. Nice embraces at the net from all four players. Well, I think the better team won today. Laura Siegemann in particular having a fantastic day on the court. They hug, they give a quick shake of hands for the umpire, and they are the champions. French-German combination, a French winner at Roland Garros, going down very well with the crowd on court Philippe Chatrier.
A standing ovation for the champions, I'm sure a standing ovation for all, because that was a really compelling, competitive mixed doubles final. The Roland Garros crowd is delighted by what they've seen, and excellent to see a new champion combination.
Yeah, scratch pairing, never played before this 2 weeks. So what a great decision that was. I'm not sure who decided to play with whom or who asked who, but it's worked out very, very well. Edouard Roger Vasselin winning his first mixed doubles title here at Roland Garros. His second Grand Slam mixed doubles final, having lost in the US Open in 2022. And for Laura Siegemund, well, it's a third Grand Slam title. She won the US Open in 2020 with Vera Svonareva, and the mixed doubles in 2016 in the US Open with Matej Pavic. Until this year, she'd had a 0-2 record in mixed doubles in slams. Well, she's turned that round, that's for sure. And it's a second Grand Slam title for Roger Vasselin after his title here in the men's doubles with Julien Beneteau in 2014. Fabulous moment for a Frenchman to win here at Roland Garros, but he needed the help of his German partner, Laura Siegemund, who was probably the best player on the court.
I think her touch on return, we talked about her chipping, her lobbing, her use of the pace to then find angles, but also her hands at the net. Time and again, she came up with some clutch volleys, no more so than in that game at 5-all on break point in the second set, where she, after a rapid exchange of volleys with Skupski at the net, was able to come up with an acute backhand angle on the volley. Brilliant play, too good, as Roger Vasselin walks back towards the supporters box, raises his arms in triumph, gets the hand pump, and he's meeting I think perhaps his son.
His
son at the back of the court. What a wonderful day for him at 40 to see that success, and now he's exchanging some high fives, some signing some autographs. But no, she was outstanding, a brilliant performance from the German.
Yeah, she's just having a discussion with Amélie Mauresmo, the tournament director, former world number one, and now it's Siegemund turning to her team and just giving them a heart sign. time for a little high five between Sigurdsson and Roger Vassan. Well, as we said, never played together before this week. Decision to play has worked out very, very well. Lovely exchanges between them on the side of the court. The photographers are all here. They're in the middle of the court waiting to film the presentation. There's a little podium that's been set up, and all the ball boys and girls are currently coming onto court to be part of the ceremony. We will we'll hear from both pairs shortly as Skupski and Kravchuk just have a chat on the sidelines. Wasn't their day. I felt like Skupski got into his rhythm a little bit too late. First set was a bit scratchy. Kravchuk held them together and they just didn't take their chances, really. They had a lot of breakpoint chances.
I think it was 7 in the first set alone before they were able to strike late in the second. But by that stage, in the box seat, the championship combination. Alex just quickly has written to say, great commentary. Pleasure to bring it to you, Alex. Doubles tennis would be more popular if the stars engaged. Look, I think that's right, but I think we saw a great crowd.
The singles guys, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. If the singles, more singles players played, there'd be more names that people know. And so maybe people would come out to watch them. But we've had a fantastic crowd here because the French Tennis Federation allowed all grounds pass holders to come in. And so the whole of the lower bowl was full. And I think they were treated to a really great match and a great final. And with some worthy winners in Edouard Roger Vassalin.
Radio Roland Garros.
Game, set, and match.
Radio Roland Garros will be with you every afternoon from 2 p.m. local time, broadcasting live from Paris, bringing you ball by ball commentary, exclusive interviews, and all the very latest news.
Live on radio.
Roland Garros.
Roland Garros.
And Laura Siegemund, the trophies currently being set onto the podium, shining, glinting in the sunshine. It was lovely conditions to play the match. And we're going to get ready for the ceremony very shortly. Mark Mowry will be doing the emceeing, as always, here. And still plenty of people staying to watch the ceremony. Here we go.
Les trophées seront remis par Madame Dominique Legault et Monsieur Jean-Luc Marrière. Madame Dominique Legault, qui est vice-présidente en charge de l'éthique et de la dignité sportive, référente accessibilité de la pratique, de la féminisation, des équipes dirigeantes et de la responsabilité sociétale. Monsieur Jean-Luc Marrière est trésorier général.
Just introducing the presentation party.
Nous allons saluer l'arbitre de la rencontre, Monsieur Jaume Campistol.
That's the umpire, Jaume Campistol. He receives a nice little memento of his day. Very nice plate being given. It's like a silver plate.
Finaliste du tournoi double mixte Roland Garros 2024, l'Américain Désiré Kravchuk et le Britannique Neil Skupski.
So Kravchuk and Skupski, not their day in the end, with another great run to the final here. Kravchuk, such a good doubles player, Skupski too, and a good pair, and they played their part in a good final. Just not quite taking their breakpoint opportunities, while Roger Vassalin and Sigurdsson definitely did.
Les finalistes.
Some nice trophies and nice photographs for the photographers to take. Both holding up silver plates. We'll probably hear from them shortly.
Vainqueur du double mixte de Roland Garros 2024, l'Allemande Laura Siegemund et le Français Edouard Roger Vasselin.
Oh, a huge cheer for the pair, of course. Laura Siegemann, but especially Roger Vasselin. A French champion at Roland Garros is always a great thing. Helped to bring a very good crowd in today. And the pair well worthy of their victory as they stand with their trophy.
Les vainqueurs du double mixte, Roland Garros 2024.
2014 mixed doubles champions, Edouard Roger Vasselin and Laura Siegemann. One of the ball boys being instructed to pass a microphone over to Skupski and Desiree Kravchuk.
To start, a few words, thank you.
Hello, everyone. First of all, congrats to Eddie and Laura for a great week. You guys played really well. Thanks, Neil, for playing with me again. Really appreciate it. To our team, thank you so much for supporting us this whole week. It's been a great time. To the fans, wow, there's so many of you, and it's amazing to play in front of this crowd. So thank you so much for coming out. Lastly, to all the sponsors, the tournament, you guys have done an amazing job, and I will see you tomorrow in the semis of doubles. But here you go.
Yes. Neil, please.
Yeah, first of all, just want to congratulate Laura and Edouard. Amazing week. It must be very special to obviously win in France. For you, Edouard, congrats to you and all your team, David. I want to say thanks to Des yet again for playing with me. We lost in the final of Australia, but we'll keep going. We'll play Wimbledon together and hopefully... Oh, maybe not. but yeah, hopefully we can go one step further. And thanks to all our box, Louis, Craig, Mark, Ken back at home. Thanks for all the support this week. To say thanks to Emily and all her all the sponsors, everyone that put the event on. This first time on Chatray, it's an amazing court. The roof on Suzanne Longlon has been a major success. Too much rain this year, so it was great that you had the roof. And all the fans that came out today, it's an amazing crowd for mixed doubles. Thanks for coming out, and hopefully we can see you next year. Thank you.
Thank you, Neil. Merci. Laura, please.
Hello, everybody. I just want to congratulate you guys. You are one of the best mixed teams, so we knew we have to play our very best today, so great job, and the next one you will get some more titles, that's for sure. Congrats also to your team. There are many people in the background, I'm sure, that participate. This was a last-minute thing. I didn't want to play mixed here because I was in singles, doubles also, and then Edouard called me or texted me like 2 hours before the deadline. So I was like, I always wanted to play with him and was always somehow not working out. And then I was like, I can't say no. Now he's finally free. He wants to play. So I think it was a good decision that we signed up. Yeah, thank you so much for playing with me. I really, I enjoyed some mix before, but this was special. I really, really enjoyed it. And also having you fans in the back through him, that was really amazing. Lastly, thanks. And lastly, thanks to my team, Anto, Sophia. We had a really long week here, lots of ups and downs. So thanks for hanging in there with me. And yeah, here it is. Thank you.
Merci, Laura. Edouard?
Oui, un petit mot en anglais, just a few words to say, yeah, of course, congratulate you guys. For sure, it's special to win in Wimbledon, and for me, it's really special to win here. So congratulations also to your team. Thank you, Laura, for accepting my last decision. I mean, yeah, like you said, like 2 hours before, I had no partners, and you said yes, so I'm glad you said yes, and we had a great week, so thank you for you and to your team as well. Bien sûr, un mot en français, évidemment, vous pouvez pas imaginer Bah, le kiff, le plaisir de gagner Roland Garros. Voilà, je crois que ça fait 10 ans presque jour pour jour que j'avais gagné en double avec Julien Beneteau. Et 10 ans après, voilà, je regagne ici. Donc c'est un moment très spécial.
Winning with Julien Beneteau, so it's a really special moment to do it again.
Bien sûr, merci au public qui nous a bien poussé toute la semaine et encore aujourd'hui. C'était pas facile, on a eu l'occasion de finir plus tôt et puis finalement ça s'est mal goupillé et vous nous avez bien soutenus, vous nous avez donné l'énergie à la fin pour gagner, donc merci à vous et très bonne journée, je pense que là c'est pas fini.
So thank you very much for being here because you gave us the energy to get over the line at the end.
Un petit mot pour Amélie, merci de m'avoir fait jouer deux matchs hier, ça m'a mis en jambe. Voilà pour aujourd'hui, maintenant je crois que je vais avoir besoin de récupérer un petit peu. Ouais, je suis encore jeune, c'est clair, je reviendrai dans 10 ans, voilà, pour gagner. Et merci à tous ceux qui m'ont suivi cette semaine, ma famille bien sûr, il y a mon fils là qui était pas né il y a 10 ans et puis là il est là, donc ça fait plaisir. Merci à tous de m'avoir supporté.
Thank you to his family and his little 10-year-old.
J'espère revenir dans un peu plus d'un mois, un mois et demi, ici sur le central. Ce serait bien. Voilà, on en reparlera avec Paul-Henri et Ivan, mais j'espère revenir dans un mois et demi ici. Merci à tous.
Oh, nice words from Edouard Roger-Vasselin and from Laura Siegemund after the late decision to join. What a great decision. 2 hours before the deadline, they sign up and they go all the way and win their first mixed doubles title together. And hilarious that Desiree Kravchuk saying to Neil Skupski, well, I don't know if we will play Wimbledon now. And I'm playing doubles tomorrow anyway, so try and win that. But it is over. The mixed doubles is over for another year. And the champions are Edouard Roger-Vasselin of France and Laura Siegemund of Germany. A 6-4, 7-5 victory over Desiree Kravchuk and Neil Skupski in the final. Fine performance by those two.
Radio Roland Garros.
Game, set and match.
Radio Roland Garros will be with you every afternoon from 2 p.m. local time, broadcasting live from Paris, bringing you ball-by-ball commentary, exclusive interviews and all the very latest news.
Live on radio.
Roland Garros.
Roland Garros.
They are just about ready, the players. If I look behind me onto the screen, I see Coco Gauff with the headphones on. The team has departed, getting herself set, and she'll be facing the world number one, Iga Świątek. She's here alongside Elena, the first of the semi-finals. It's intriguing, it's predictable, it's unpredictable. You speak to 10 people, 10 are saying it's straight sets and it's quick, and the others say maybe this time it could be different.
Well, that would tally with a head-to-head of 10-1, wouldn't it? But I think we saw yesterday that tennis can be anything but predictable. Yesterday we looked ahead to the two women's quarterfinals and we said, oh, it'll be fine. Rybakina will cruise through, Sabalenka will romp past a 17-year-old. And by the end of today, tennis had proved yet again that we're all wrong to make predictions about it. So I'm looking forward to this one. I think Coco Gauff is still emerging, she's still growing, she's still developing. And this could be perhaps their tightest contest yet.
Let's hope so. For all involved, intrigued as Coco Gauff, the 20-year-old, making her fifth appearance at Roland Garros in her fourth Grand Slam semi-final, makes her way up the stairs and awaits her entrance out onto court, Philippe Chatrier, third seed at this year's championships.
La première joueuse à rentrer sur le court est troisième mondiale aujourd'hui. Elle a remporté l'US Open l'an passé. Elle était finaliste en Roland Garros en 2022. L'américaine Coco.
What we know is that she will be the new world number two on Monday, the current US Open champion.
on Auckland at the start of the year. She's looking to be the youngest player to beat the world number one at Roland Garros. It's Nicole Vidasova, the Amelie Mresmo, the round of 16 in 2006. The task is a tough one as the world number one, and the world number one by a country mile. Iga Świątek makes her way up the stairs, headphones on, and awaits her introduction onto the court where she's won the title three times. Winning run on clay, one away from equaling her longest. She's a two-time defending champion. She has won 19 straight matches at Roland Garros and four Grand Slam titles, three of them here. She is the player in women's tennis to beat, especially when it comes to playing on the red clay. The first of the semi-finals that we have for you, Gigi and Elna, Coco Gauff and Iga Świątek. And it's going to be intriguing once they get in and do the housekeeping, do the coin toss, the start for Coco Gauff. We saw this yesterday with Jasmine Paolini. You've got to settle quickly. You've got to get off to a good start.
Well, there's no room for errors. There's no room for lapses in concentration. There's no room for anything less than your very, very best game against a player like Iga Świątek. She reigns supreme here at Roland Garros. She has reigned pretty much supreme on clay this year, and this is a phenomenal task for Coco Gauff. But she did a great interview with Nick McCarville, a former Radio Roland Garros alumnus, and she was talking about how she's had a lot of firsts here at Roland Garros. First junior Grand Slam, first major quarterfinal was here, first final of a Grand Slam was here, and she may be looking to push through another barrier today.
Let's have a listen in to the housekeeping that will include the coin toss.
Can we have the kids, please? Thank you.
Photo with the mascots. Lovely
Thank
photo,
you.
Lovely smiles.
Okay, ladies, just a few reminders. We've been a best of three. The final set tiebreak is a 10-point tiebreak. We do have the clock on top of the scoreboard. General. Also, in front of me, the time starts after I turn on the score in French. For the towel boxes, you have the one that matches your towel. So, Coco, you have the orange one. And he got for you the blue one. Line umpires on every line, so the night covered. If you want me to check a mark, just make it clear, stop the points. Any questions? No? Coco, do you want the player or the ball? The ball is cold.
Will she get the ball? Here we go. Coin toss, coin. Here we go. Flip it. That's a good flip.
The ball.
I want.
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
Sir?
You love that.
Me?
That shows you how focused and in the zone they are. And I like the fact we're talking about settling. Take it to Świątek. I like the fact that Coco Gauff won the toss and has elected to serve.
I do too. I think it's always a statement of intent. And interesting to watch their respective sort of physical warm-ups while Aurélie Tort was going through the housekeeping, if you like, and Coco Gauff was bouncing up and down a la Rafael Nadal, bounce knees up very, very high. And Świątek was doing her shadow strokes busily, hitting an invisible ball this way and that. All winners, of course. And the two mascots who were stood there did a very good job there, by the way. A daunting prospect to have to walk out here with a top player and then have to toss a coin
and toss it well.
And cope with the situation and all those things. They were just sort of looking at them. What are you doing? One of you's bouncing up and down and the other one's hitting a ball that isn't there.
Well, it is now there because we're warming up and Świątek is at the net. We talked about this 10-1 head-to-head. Now, Świątek won there. She's won the last three meetings and it was straight sets in Rome in the semi-final. And Coco Gauff played well that day. She played well. She was serving big. She being really aggressive with her hitting. But still, when it came to the pressure points, when it came to the big moments, that is where Iga Świątek excels. We saw that against Naomi Osaka when she was match point down. She is clutch when she needs to be.
I mean, she's incredibly battle-hardened anyway, just because she's won so many matches. But also she's shown that she can ride the waves of whatever her opponent brings to her. And the fact remains, Coco Gauff could play an amazing match today. She could play brilliantly and still lose.
Yeah.
And that's the reality of what she's up against in Iga Świątek. In saying that, Świątek isn't invulnerable. She has moments. She very nearly went out against Naomi Osaka, of course, in the second round in what for me is still the women's match of the tournament. I would say in terms of sustained quality from both protagonists, well, until now, we may see something that matches that today. But, you know, she has moments of vulnerability. She can be rocked on her heels. She can be rattled.
I think the frightening thing for all her opponents since she came through against Naomi Osaka is she's lost just 8 games.
Yes, I think all her opponents since then will be not thanking Naomi Osaka, because what she did is played Iga Świątek.
What is it?
Very nicely into form.
Prodded the bear. Or yes. Poked the hornet's nest.
Poked the bear. Or stirred the wasp's nest.
I got that completely wrong, didn't I?
Well, you can poke things, stab things. Poke things, much stab. The same thing
she
happens.
She basically woke up something that didn't need to be woken up because it would just annoy everyone else.
Yes, exactly. And she certainly played Iga Świątek into form nicely, and she was already pretty, as I say, battle-hardened going into that match, and she came out of it, I'm sure, with an extra measure of confidence, having come through an incredibly close call. But, you know, equally, Coco Gauff has played very, very well this tournament. She's also played with a degree of dominance in a lot of her matches. And, as I said, she's coming here... Iga Świątek just waving to the crowd. Cool. Filip Chatrier just filling up. We can see lots of movement around as people come up the stairs, try and find their seats. But Coco Gauff comes here as a Grand Slam champion this time.
Yes.
It's a different feeling. It's a different aura around you. She has played for and won one of the biggest titles in global sport. And that will also give her a deep-seated confidence and certainty that she perhaps didn't have when she reached the final here a couple of years ago, where she was pretty soundly beaten by Świątek on that occasion. But I think she's a different player, a different prospect, a different level. She's more mature. Her overall game, I think, has improved. There are still some areas she is working on. I think the serve is one of those, particularly the second serve.
Yeah.
The forehand, I think, is a much stronger weapon than it was. It's much less vulnerable.
And she has said all the pressure is on Iga Świątek. People are expecting her to win. People have already crowned her the champion for 2024 and handed her the trophy and say, well, that's marvellous, isn't it? So all the pressure, she said, is on Iga Świątek. So hopefully that gives me an element of freedom when I go out there to play my game. And again, I go back to winning the coin toss. I think it's such a positive that she has elected to serve.
Yeah, so my memory is not good enough to remember whether she did that when she played in the final here against Świątek. But I think it's a statement of intent, as we said, and I think she just has more of an air of surety around her. She's a little bit older, much, much more experienced at the very highest level. But yes, no pressure, and I think even after yesterday's results, if anything, the pressure has increased on Iga Świątek, because if people weren't starting to etch her name onto the trophy before yesterday, they might well be tempted to do so now, having seen Rybakina, who had such a great record against Świątek, go out of the tournament. And, of course, Sabalenka, who's been arguably her greatest rival so far this season.
Well, I think a number of people have finished etching her name on the trophy.
And blown the dust away.
Yeah, they've planned the party, they've put up the banners. But let's see what happens. Tennis, a wonderful sport, can be a strange sport. And Gauff is going to be the world number two. Yes, she's almost a million light years away from Iga Świątek in terms of points won and totals, but she will be at a career high of world number two on Monday. And remember, she is just 20 years old. We have a 20-year-old and we have a just-turned 23-year-old in the first point of this first semi-final. It's long off the forehand from Gauff going cross-court, and Świątek is just motioning up to her box and having a few words now. Daria Abramovic, her psychologist, is just leaning around in the box as if looking for something.
Contact lens.
Oh, you don't want to go out without those, which I did the other day.
As a lamppost.
Oh, I tell you. I did wonder why I knew I was tired. But I couldn't understand why I suddenly couldn't see things that I normally could. Love 15. Goff serves centre of the box and the backhand comes back. It's the intensity with which Iga Świątek strikes every single ball.
Yes, and that in and of itself is a technical challenge. It's a tennis challenge, but it's also a mental challenge because it must be like having a flamethrower aimed at you constantly. You get no room to breathe with Świątek. She's coming at you with every single ball.
Yeah, she really is. Now we're going to have a look at the second serve for the first time. Goff serves down the tee. The backhand's in play deep. Swung cross court from Goff. Goff, the double hand across court, and a lot deeper, but it's battered back down the line. And Świątek nets off the forehand and looks towards that ball. She has the cap pulled down so low, you can't see the expression on Świątek's face.
Even as she pulls the strings and plucks at the strings on her racket, she's doing so with intensity.
It's like everything she does is going to be the last thing she ever does. 15-30, snap back to the forehand. Goff placing herself inside the baseline. Now she's pushed out and she lofts up a very short high ball that's brought down the forehand by Świątek, who slides cross-court into the backhand. The backhand cross-court from the American. Down the line goes the pole for the winner, hit with such ferocity and such speed that Goff, despite being a phenomenal athlete, knew she would have no chance of getting their break points.
I think that moment of tentative hitting midway through that rally probably did the damage there for Coco Gauff, and immediately under pressure on serve, 15-40.
Serve out wide, it is a good one, a deep return. The backhand swung cross court. Świątek gets that, resets herself. And then I think Gauff would have seen the onrushing Świątek, so she hooks the ball out of the air and slams it and misses the court altogether, and that's a break to 15 in the first game with Coco Gauff having won the toss and elected to serve.
Yes, deep breaths required now for Coco Gauff. Not the start she would have been looking for, not the start her coaching team will have been looking for. Of course, she's got Brad Gilbert in the box, long-time coach of all sorts of people, Andre Agassi, Andy Murray, among others, and he certainly there as an advisor en route to her US Open victory. Yep. I'm sure he will have some thoughts on the best tactics to play Iga Świątek.
Got to get inside her head. You've got to unsettle her, and that's really hard to do. You've also got to be able to hit through her, which very few people on a clay court can do. Marketa Vondrousova, the world number six, who lost in straight sets in the quarterfinals, said it's mind-boggling. Not even like facing someone who's human out there. And remember, she took 40 minutes to beat the world number 41, Anastasia Potapova, love and love. First look at the world number one serve. The first, the top seed, world number one, for the ninth consecutive slammer. With the lead that she has at the top of the rankings, she's going to be 106 weeks completed as world number one.
And many more, one would assume.
Many, especially with the lead she has and with the placings changing behind her like they are. So Sabalenka would have had a chance to catch up, but obviously she lost in the quarterfinals, and Rybakina hasn't been able to defend Rome. She wasn't able to defend Indian Wells. She's now gone out of the quarterfinals here. So they're jostling for position behind Świątek at the moment. So it's a fight amongst themselves while Świątek just cracks on up front. Goff comes forward with the backhand past the waiting Iga Świątek, who watched the ball fly past.
If Goff is going to cut the deficit in terms of the ranking race, she's going to need to have a good Wimbledon, I think, because obviously going into the US summer hard court swing, she does have a lot of points to defend. Notably, of course, that US Open title. The 12-year rolling ranking system will punish inconsistency year on year.
So much pressure. You've either got to scoop up the points before you get back to a big win, or you've got to defend that big win through the middle of the court. The backhand cross, it drops short from Shaunte, because on the back foot, the aggressor is Goff. Goff is now pushed back and the attacking is taking over by the Pole, who's now stretched out wide. And Goff comes forward again. Lots of tiny little footsteps. She's at the net. She plays the volley. She cannot control the volley because it's a lovely ball from Shaunte to the feet of the onrushing Goff.
Goff trying to take the initiative there, trying to go on the attack, trying to really lead in that rally, and even when she did that, Shaunte, it was too good. The ball to feet was just too low, too crafty, too well struck.
30-15, one love. Shaunte serves down the tee, snap back through the middle. The forehand cross gone to the service line, a spinny forehand that's long. Not enough spin to drag it back down and in. And game points for the consolidation of the early break, 6 minutes played.
And if you're wondering why occasionally you hear a sort of clickety-clack